The reality is technology is just 20% of the solution. The 80% comes from business reimagination and the change management, the risk mitigation that is needed in an enterprise. These are enterprises. Change is not easy. If you reimagine the way business is done, the way work is done, you also have to reimagine how people interact with these new systems, with the new business.
Welcome back to Stay Cognizant, where we bring you the ideas, people, and insights you need to stay cognizant of what's new and what's next in tech. I'm your host, Pamela Axtell. There's a version of the AI conversation that's about capabilities and potential. And then there's the version about how to make that potential real inside a complex enterprise. Today, we're firmly in the latter. Cognizant recently completed market research with enterprise leaders, and some of what came back is genuinely surprising. When we asked how enterprises are measuring AI success, financial ROI ranked at the bottom. Headcount reduction ranked last. The top-ranked answers were improved employee experience, improved customer experience, and better quality of work. The picture that emerges isn't the automation story most people are telling. Today, I'm joined by Sushant Waraku. Sushant has spent his entire career at the intersection of strategy and engineering at companies as diverse as Accenture, IBM, and startups, and now here at Cognizant. And he's leading at Cognizant one of our most important initiatives, really making AI real for our clients. Sushant, welcome to Stay Cognizant.
Thank you. Thank you, Pam.
So before we get into the big ideas, I actually want to start with you. You've had a very interesting career, as I just mentioned briefly. And, you know, one of the things I think that is really remarkable about your career is that you've actually been working in AI long before people were even calling it AI. So let's start there. Maybe you can talk to me a little bit about your career as you've moved through these different environments, from very large organizations to startups to a place like Cognizant to the boom in AI. What's the through line been throughout those experiences?
If I told you that I had planned my career to go a certain way, I would be lying, right? But it just so happens that in my current role as the Chief Business Officer for AI at Cognizant, life has sort of come full circle. I started my career as an engineer, as a software developer, quality engineer, architect, and then moved on to the business side because I always felt that I needed to understand the industry better if I had to create a technological manifestation of those business workflows. And that got me into business process design, business strategy. The way I describe my background, I'm an industry strategist who's worked across different industries, but I'm also a deep technologist and then figures out how to apply technology to drive business value. That eventually got me to a role where I was running verticals, industry verticals, because I was able to think strategically and bridge the gap between business and technology. The second half of my career has been working with data. I realized very early in my career that the value was hidden within the data silos in an enterprise. I started out by building data decision science practices at Accenture, where back in the days of data warehousing, I was creating those data warehouses with methodologies from Ralph Kimball and Inman and so on. Then moved on to machine learning, working with IBM Watson and implementing that back in the day when AI was not really AI, but it was just emerging. And then really got into the world today where we can do truly probabilistic and predictive decision making with AI. So it's a very exciting time because I would say a part of me has been waiting forever for this to happen. Right? We always knew it would come one day, but we did not know when.
Right.
And then suddenly in the last few years, you've seen what we call as the advent of the large language models and AI becoming mainstream.
So you talked about, you know, starting as an engineer, moving into more data strategy and then business strategy. How does having that sort of multifaceted lens affect the way you think about AI and its potential today?
Sometimes, like as engineers, we love to build stuff. We build technology, we build products, we build platforms, and we truly believe that people will go buy those platforms, adopt those platforms. But the industry doesn't really work that way. You have to think customer in when you think about technology. And running these different industries gave me a very different perspective, which is how do you start with the customer in lens? What do your customers need? What does the industry need? What does the end customer need that they are serving? And work backwards from that to determine what technology needs to be created and applied.
Human first.
That human first reality check was very needed for me to create solutions that were really relevant to our customers. So it's like this unicorn blend that I've now got together, which is I always think customer first. And I think in this world of AI, this is something that's been missing. If you really look at, there's a lot of investment that's been going on in AI technology out. Billions and billions of dollars is being spent. But there's not enough intervention being done customer in.
Mm.
You got to think about all these industries. How can you reimagine these industries, their business processes? They're not just business processes. How do you reimagine the experience architecture for the customer, the associates, their partners?
Because the technology needs to be adopted by humans for it to be successful.
I'm glad you made that point. AI is not about AI.
Right.
It's all about amplification of human potential. It's all about people. It's all about humans. So in my team, I have human-centered AI designers. Why? Because I tell them, first think about how can you amplify human potential in whatever persona you're working with?
Yeah.
And then you think about how AI can be applied towards that reimagination. I think that's a very, very important pivot all of us need to make.
You mentioned your team a little bit. Talk a little bit about your current role at Cognizant and what drew you to that role, given everything you've talked about and sort of where you've come from to meet, reach this sort of full circle moment.
So I took this job 6 months back to lead AI for the company. What does it really mean? As the chief business officer, my job is to ensure that our clients, which is where everything starts, can drive business value from AI. And we can accelerate that business value realization is the true potential of the technology. Now, in order to achieve that, I realized that the kind of team we needed was all there at Cognizant, but was sitting in different places. And this required an ambidextrous mindset. So my team consists of designers who are redesigning based on human-centered design, these business workflows. It consists of industry and domain strategists who are deeply embedded in the industry, understand the nuts and bolts, understand the nuances. They understand different horizontal domains such as finance, marketing, etc. And they're keen and eager to reimagine the industry they're in. They have this passion, they have this hunger. And they're also very literate on technology, including AI, that they can use to do this. The third element is we have engineers. We call them AI engineers or frontier AI engineers. These are people who lived their entire life in technology, working with data science, working with data, working with models. And so this machine learning and AI is not new to them. They've been in this field forever. But now when you bring together the designer, the strategist, and the frontier engineer in one unit, I'm seeing magic happen. Because they sort of are coming together, creating an end product, which they never could have created by themselves in a more linear life cycle. And that's why we brought a squad together, which could challenge each other and create end value in a completely different way with AI.
So let's move now into talking a little bit more about AI itself. You know, I think the dominant narrative in the media has been about doing more with less, right?
Yes.
Compressing timelines, reducing headcount. But I think the reality that we see with our clients is much more nuanced and actually more interesting. And I kind of want to start there. You know, you've sat at this intersection of business and technology for a long time. Let's start with, what do you think is the most common misconception? Maybe building on what I just said about what we hear in the media, but even amongst our clients and people you talk to, what's the most common misconception about AI?
Let's start by first defining what AI is.
Yep.
AI is a system that can sense, it can see, and it can learn, and it can act. Please notice that I did not use the word feel yet, but I do believe that one day, artificial intelligence is going to imbibe all 5 senses.
Mm-hmm. Even taste?
Even taste. Even taste. Because whatever can be physically manifested can now be digitally manifested as well. So you have an intelligent system that has the 3 senses and eventually 5 senses that humans have too, and is able to now convert that into signals that humans and machines can both collaborate on. Now, this is a very different world, because if you look at traditional enterprises were, humans were the main actors, and business workflows was how they interacted with each other for a certain industry. And then IT systems were built to support those business workflows. But they were static systems. We used to call them applications and databases and so on. We still call them that. But now, if you start to diffuse that architecture into a new enterprise where agents and humans have equal privilege, and intelligent systems and humans are working together on a common intelligence plane that is also
presented by AI. Think of how it changes everything. It's all dynamic, not static, which means you have adaptive, intelligent systems constantly running those business workflows in production for you. If they see something, they will act on that. You don't have to hardwire them to act in a certain way. At the same time, you want to make sure that when they take a decision and act, that decision is within the guardrails that you set for those intelligent systems. That's what's happening, right? It's like you are now have a new labor workforce, which is there to support the humans. It is important to keep in mind, contrary to the notion that people have that AI is going to take away jobs from humans, I actually have a completely contrary belief to that.
Mm-hmm.
If I speak to any CIO or CEO or CEO, and I tell them, are you moving things fast enough? Is IT creating capabilities fast enough? Is business creating capabilities fast enough for your business? Are your customers getting features or services or solutions fast enough? The answer is always no. AI presents the immense opportunity to cut through this backlog and create value much faster, which means your humans are going to be able to produce value in a much more accelerated fashion. And I call it hyper-productivity. Now, once you start collaborating on this immense intelligence that comes together because of AI, which I call as hyper-intelligence, you will start to see new value pools emerge, which you never saw before.
Because now those humans are freed up from those tasks that take up a tremendous amount of time but don't necessarily require as much strategic thought. Now they're freed up to spend more time on those areas and find new opportunities, innovation, new value pools, etc.
I call it operational inertia and waste. This operational inertia and waste is going to come down, and instead, that human labor is going to be spent on high value, creative, innovative things that humans have always been capable of. So you will see a value uplift because of that. And so you will do what you do today in a much faster, much more effective manner.
Yep.
And because you are able to do so many things at a very different velocity and with so much hyper-intelligence, you will start to see new opportunities. For example, if you create an intelligent and adaptive supply chain with AI, you will start to monetize the supply chain in other ways than what you're doing today, which was never possible. So those are some ways we can create new value pools and therefore creating much more opportunities for humans than what we saw before.
So we're talking a lot about potential. And as you know, Cognizant has done quite a bit of research into what's actually happening in the enterprise environment. And what we've discovered is that 92% of enterprise leaders say that what they're actually able to achieve with AI today does not match their capability, their ambitions. Does that jive with what you're hearing? Does that match what you see when you talk to our customers?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is a given. Because if technology was the solution to all problems, the industry would be in a completely different place. The reality is technology is just 20% of the solution. The 80% comes from business reimagination and the change management, the risk mitigation that is needed in an enterprise. These are enterprises. Change is not easy. So if you reimagine the way business is done, the way work is done, you also have to reimagine how people interact with these new systems, with the new business. So roles will change. Technology will change. So people, process, technology, data, all layers have to change to get true business value. Just bringing the technology in at a process level is not going to show you the results that you expect.
Right. So you talked about these three. I know we refer to them as sort of three horizons. Would you say that right now, not because of the technology, but because of organizational challenges, many enterprises are sort of trapped in horizon one, hyper-productivity, and they can't figure out how to get to the next level?
I would agree with that. I would say that in the last 6 months or so, I'm starting to see Horizon 2 emerge. So what does it take to go from Horizon 1 to Horizon 2? Obviously, there's a potential to reimagine the business workflow. But even to drive productivity at scale, an enterprise needs the right harness. I call it the agentic harness. You can reimagine how you process claims with AI, for example. But in order to run this at scale at an enterprise grade, you need to make sure that the FinOps is in place. The governance of the workflow is in place. The security controls are in place. The context layer which the agents and the models need to reason against is in place. I call it the agentic harness. Just building an agent and a model does not solve the problem. You have to build this harness that supports the two, and that is how you actually reimagine a process. We at Cognizant are helping them build the harness as we transform these processes.
And that is how it will truly get enterprise grade. So I actually feel that I don't think they're trapped anymore. I feel there's rapid diffusion happening now as we're building this harness, where we are able to take these new agentified workflows to production at scale.
Okay, so we've talked about the real value of AI being ultimately in amplifying human capability, which then ultimately amplifies enterprise capability, right? Easy to talk about, harder to actually do in practice when now we're also talking about humans and AI working as part of a team. So let's talk a little bit about how we're doing that. And I think let's start with your team, because you've built a team that you've talked about a little bit already that is very different from other teams inside Cognizant and arguably outside of Cognizant as well. Talk about your approach to that and how and why you think that's going to help approach this issue of how we work in the future.
The way we are approaching driving business reimagination for a client is we go and have the first conversation to really understand what are the strategic goals of the enterprise. What are the big bets? What are the big opportunities? What are the big challenges? It is very important to first figure out whether you are solving the right problem or not. More often than not, in an enterprise in the industry, we end up solving problems that do not really yield us the right results. So first, what problems are the most important problems for you? Our team focuses on those problem statements. And then we take one or two of those problems, we get into a workshop with our client. We don't believe in creating a solution in isolation and throwing it over the fence.
This is also contrary to it. You're not technology first. You're not pushing technology. You're first saying, what's the human problem we're trying to solve here?
That's exactly
right. We're convinced we'll get to the technology. We don't need to start there.
Our clients know their business best. First, we need to accept that. They are very good at what they do, right? And we are there to help them think through the problem statement differently. Once we know what problems we're trying to solve, the different perspectives we bring in as strategists and engineers is, could we think about this? I call it the Uber and the Airbnb example. When those companies were created, they were not trying to fix the taxi service or not trying to make a certain hotel chain better. They were looking at the customer and says, as a customer, what do we need when we want to move from one place to another? Or when we go live somewhere, what kind of flexibility are we looking for? What kind of experience are we looking for? That kind of thinking, starting with the end goal, which is their customer, and working backwards from that. When we get into a workshop for, let's say, half a day, 2 days in succession, we start to create an agentic blueprint of what that future state needs to be. So we spend a lot of time in architecture, solution, and design at a business level before we even talk about technology.
Yeah.
And once we know that we have the right manifestation in mind of what the future business workflow could look like, that is when we start to talk about systemic implementation of that new process. And now with AI, that part has become so much faster, so much easier, that manifesting that in a systemic way takes days instead of months and years now. That is why you see people are able to create some really, really radical stuff quickly. And you'll see a lot of that. This society is going to turn into a society of builders. The question is, how do we build value and not just build? And that's where Cognizant comes in. We are not just AI builders. We want to be value creators with AI, right?
We're building value.
We're building value.
One of the things about your model that really strikes me, which you've alluded to, but I don't know if you've come out and used the word, is it's very outcomes focused. It's very accountability focused. So humans are not just responsible for technology, they're responsible for outcomes. Why is that such an important pivot in the AI era?
I actually use the word value more than outcome, because outcome could be positive or negative.
Oh, good point.
Right?
Yes.
And so when we commit to outcomes, the outcome could go either way. But when we know the value that we're looking to realize and we quantify that value, then we set a goal for ourselves to go achieve. And that's how we look at it. Like a goal could be a customer who should be able to get a loan application processed in minutes instead of days, right? Without requiring back and forth phone calls. That's like a goal we try and set for ourselves. So I think that is how we look at being more value focused. And Cognizant wants to commit to that value for clients, right? That's where our secret sauce comes in. We don't want to be just the one providing them specialized expertise. We want to be able to underwrite that end value for our clients, but then co-create that value with them, because I don't believe in doing this in isolation.
A piece of how you are delivering for our clients revolves around a pretty novel cost model. It's an agent cost estimator. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about that cost model, what it reveals about the actual cost of agentifying the enterprise, and how it helps our clients take those revelations and turn them into real value.
I call it the boring, but the most important stuff. Why I call it the boring and the most important stuff is because it is the core to the agentic harness. How do you manage something you cannot observe or you cannot measure? Now that humans and agents are going to work together as a hybrid workforce, how do you measure that effort? How do you baseline that effort? How do you cost and price that effort? And therefore, I should be able to tell a client that if you used to take hours to process a claim and it used to cost $20 a claim, I'll be able to do it now for $5 a claim and not in hours, but in 5 minutes. That's an example, right? But in order to do that, I need to be able to manage the consumption of the technology, which is the tokens with AI, and the human effort, and make sure that I can, within the boundaries of what I've estimated, deliver those outcomes. That's why I say it's boring stuff, but it is the stuff you need to have in place in order to really deliver the end value to a client. And that's why as a team, we had to go build this out. So we built out the agent cost estimator. We built out the FinOps on the top so that we can deliver value for clients in a predictable manner in the budget that we set for it. And the other point I would like to make for FinOps is, because AI works at superhuman pace, you just can't manage the AI with just humans only. So we need to use AI to build AI. We need to use AI to manage AI. So a FinOps is based on the fact that you should be able to use AI to manage AI, and you should be able to use it responsibly so that you're not using the most expensive deep models out there for something which only requires regular automation. So that kind of, I would say, pragmatic, sensible thinking is needed here to make sure that the spend around AI does not go out of bounds.
And it's going to be a constant rebalancing, it sounds like, too, right?
It has to be dynamically done. It cannot be statically instrumented.
Right.
So what we do is we make sure that the AI is auditing AI. And AI is making sure that AI is working within the allowance set for that particular workflow. And that is how we will need to manage this, because you cannot instrument it or hardwire this otherwise.
So let's look forward a little bit to a future, probably not as long from now as we might think, where these initial deployments are in the past and, you know, enterprises are really starting to be reimagined. And I know you've talked about agentic architecture, just completely reimagining customer experience.
Yes.
What are some real examples? You spent time running our retail practice, or you worked in a lot of deep customer experience projects. What are some things that you think we'll see in the next 2 to 5 years?
It's already happening. We're already doing it. I'll give you an agentic commerce example. If you're looking to buy a couch, for example, and today, if you have to go find it online, you'll go through various brands, go through lots of different options or filters to be set before you find something that you like. Now, you go ask your personal agent and say, listen, I'm looking for this couch. Here's the size of my apartment or the living room. And can you find something for me?
And in 5 years, it'll know the size of my living room.
No, it's doing it right now.
It knows it now.
If you actually point the camera, the agent will be able to calculate the size of the couch that you need. And if you tell the agent, I need this delivered within 4 weeks, I need the price to be within this budget, and I need the fabric to be this because that's how I like it to be linen and so on. Now, what the agent is going to do is, he's going to go talk to all the brand agents, and then the brand agents that we've implemented will actually look at inventory to find the right product, see if it's actually available or not to be delivered, and it meets all the criteria that the customer has set. This is the new world where the intent of the customer is not only understood better, it is actually acted upon. You're not leaving to the customer to figure out how to get the right product. You are curating the right experience for the customer based on their intent. And this is something we're actually doing right now with agentic commerce, where all these different agents are collaborating together to create that end experience for the customer. So it's not 5 years from now, it's happening right now.
What about team and talent? What does that look like in the future where we've got agentic enterprises?
Our CEO has spoken about this topic as well.
Yep.
Right? We will need a lot more domain experts, which means that we need people
who are ambidextrous, who know how to leverage technology very well, but they can build depth in different areas. Could be biology, life sciences, could be marketing, could be finance. We need more of those people.
Right.
Because the opportunity here is to redefine all of those vertical and horizontal domains.
And the tech is more democratized now. So you can have a biologist communicating with an agent based on something that they're imagining in their mind, and they don't need to know how to build it technically anymore.
That's exactly right. See, for the longest time, when we build technology or systems, humans spend a lot of time figuring out how to talk in the system's language by doing programming.
Right.
We don't have to do that anymore. The systems will talk in our language. And that's why the focus is now back on what we need to do to create value versus our focus being all about running these systems that actually run these business workflows. So we see more and more of depth in these domains, but it is just a given that every one of these domain experts will know how to leverage technology and AI to serve their particular domain for them.
My last question for you, Sushant, I know this, you are having these conversations all the time. You're talking to a CEO who really wants to move from pilots to production at scale. What's your advice?
There are two things that need to be done to really accelerate an enterprise moving forward on this agentic journey. Number one, it has to come from the top. There has to be a vision, a strategy, and sponsorship top down, where the CEO, the COO, the CFO, the CIO all come together, the CTO, and say, here's our vision for the enterprise, transforming the enterprise with AI, and here's the policies and procedures, here's how the architecture will work. They need to agree on a plan, and they need to have a mandate to get that plan to flow through all of the organization. That's very, very important.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we also know that top-down mandates do not really work well unless and until you start bottom-up. So while you have a vision and a strategy set top-down and sponsorship top-down, you then need to start at the business process level and start to transform one process at a time. Create the right agentic foundation, get that going. In parallel, start transforming and agentifying processes. As people start to see value from AI in their jobs, in the work they're supposed to be responsible for, there'll be much less friction in their adoption of the technology for transforming the enterprise.
Right.
And so we need to do both. Go both top-down as well as bottom-up. And as you iterate, as you go through all the processes in finance, you will eventually transform the finance domain. And then when you transform different domains, such as products, finance, marketing, customer care, that's when true agentification of the enterprise is going to happen.
What Sushant has laid out today is really a picture of what it takes to go from AI as a conversation to AI as a business operating system. It's not just about deploying and using AI. It's about building the foundation, the team, the commercial model, and the governance to make it real at scale. The shift from AI as tool to AI as collaborator is already happening. The enterprises that get there first are the ones investing in the right architecture, the right people, and the right economics to support it. Sushant, thank you so much for sharing your perspective today. It was exactly the kind of grounded and practical conversation that I think our clients are hungry for. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Pam. Appreciate the conversation.
And thanks to all of you for listening. We'll be back soon with more on how Cognizant is helping organizations turn emerging technologies into meaningful progress. See you next time on Stay Cognizant.